You've probably heard a lot of talk about psychedelics lately. They're starting to hit the mainstream media. You're starting to hear about people trying them and sharing their journeys. Now, psychedelics are being used to help treat many health and wellness and mental illness conditions such as like PTSD, addiction, anxiety, depression. Some women are using it to help guide with menopause and much more. So today I'm joined by Andrea Crockett. She is a psychedelic integration coach with Inner Lodestar, where she's the founder. And Andrea talks about the difference between microdosing, the benefits of psychedelics, what you should know, the different forms of psychedelics, and she's open to any questions. So have a listen to Andrea Crockett and please share any concerns or questions you have with me. I'm happy to get you the answers. So sit back, enjoy the conversation, and see how psychedelics might be helpful for you. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning, Jackie. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Andrea, as you know, I've wanted to talk to you for quite some time now, about psychedelics and psychedelic therapy. I think a lot of people listening to this podcast are wondering why I'm still talking about psychedelic therapy. And there's a good reason for that. Andrea, you and I connected, I think, over Instagram when I started talking about my journey that I did in Jamaica earlier this year.
That's right.
And and you were quite intrigued because you are a psychedelic integration coach. So, like, obviously, this caught your interest. The reason that I am still talking about it is because it's been a few months and I've noticed that there are still things happening for me. There are still changes happening. And I really expected something different, which is funny because I did educate myself, but amazing how, you think you know what's going to happen or what you can expect from an experience, and it's still changing for me. So welcome, and thanks for being so generous with your time to talk about this with me. Psychedelic therapy is something, Andrea, like you and I think are on the same page as this. We see a lot of women gravitating towards it these days.
There are more and more women gravitating towards it. Just men, women, people in general. It's really we're calling it the psychedelic renaissance. And people, it's coming out from under the stigma it's been under for so long, like since psychedelics started getting decriminalized in the 70s. And we're going back to some of the research and the discoveries that we made in the 1950s and 60s, where there was a ton of research happening with how psychedelics can help with mental health and with psychotherapy. We've seen recently where MAPS, it's the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, they have just wrapped up phase three trials, sorry, and have submitted an application to the FDA for basically the legalization of MDMA for PTSD. So I think that's really one of the flagship, things that has kind of brought it out from under the covers, and people. It's becoming more known in, I guess, regular society, if we want to say that how effective the treatment is. And just the breakthrough can be.
The breakthroughs are amazing to me, and I'll go into that in a little bit, but I was speaking at the She Psyched panel last week in Toronto. It was a great panel where Jen Cheesak, who's an author on a book about psychedelics in women and specifically around hormones and periods. April Pride, who was the founder of Vanderpop. I loved her stuff. Anyway, she moderated, and I was joined by Iris Selkirk, who is the founder of Rise Wellness, whose retreat I went on. So I was in really good company. I learned a lot on the panel. Like, just like my position on the panel was really to share the user experience. And these women had such a wealth of information. But what I did find, even in ticket sales, is that women are still hesitant. Why women as a gender? We are very, I guess that's our, our calling in life is to make sure things are safe before we move forward. And I think that psychedelics are very much like that because, there's a stigma, as you said. There is a thing, a lot of things I hear around this topic are, oh yeah, I've tried shrooms. I'm like, yeah, there's a difference between a trip and a journey. Trying shrooms and being outward in the world while you're doing it is very different than taking a macro dose and having an eye mask on. That's a very different experience. The word psychedelic kind of conjures up images of being out of control, being crazy. And I remember obviously before cannabis was legalized, the movie Reefer Madness. Do you remember that propaganda film where they're all at a party smoking pot and they go crazy and they murder everybody? I've never had that experience with cannabis. I can barely get off the couch, but
No, This is the propaganda, though, that was put out there, right? We were all told and convinced that we would lose our minds on psychedelics, right? Whether it was cannabis or LSD or mushrooms, we were going to lose our minds, right? We could have a psychotic break. We could jump off of something. Like it was, we were brainwashed into thinking that,
Of
right?
course, of course. And I'm sure there's many reasons why, but let's go into some basics because I think what really helps around this topic is having a general understanding of what psychedelics really are, how they work, and how they work with our brain, and psychologically, but also the difference between like a macrodose and a microdose. I'd like to talk more about the journey itself. So let's start off with, what would you say the fundamentals of psychedelics are that like everyone should know when they're considering psychedelics as an alternative treatment for mental health issues? It is being used, as you said, for PTSD, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, addiction, like so many things.
So many
And
things.
I can see why it works.
For sure. Like, I think you let's start off where you described there, the experience itself. So if we compare it to, like, friends who were like, yeah, I did shrooms back in high school, it was so cool, or people who go and do some MDMA and go to a rave and whatever. I don't know what the kids are calling it these days, but it's absolutely not that, right? And nor is it like hanging out with your friends and listening to Pink Floyd. Like that's not what this experience is all about. This is an experience where it's very inward looking. You do wear an eye shade, you have headphones on, and it's in a very controlled and safe environment where you're being monitored by someone who's caring, who's done an intensive work with you prior to make sure to understand you and where you're coming from, and to make sure that you're healthy and all those things. And it's a very quiet, peaceful, inward experience that you're entering into so that you can go into yourself. And that's where all the healing and all the growth and discovery, that's where it's located. That's where it begins. I think it's best described, I hope people who are familiar have heard this. It's like 10 years of talk therapy in a day. That truly is what we're looking at, where we're breaking through a lot of the self-limiting thought patterns that we've come up with over the years, right? As we carry th ourselves through life, our minds form things of what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate for me. And some of those things, we basically trap ourselves almost like into a rigid metal mental box where we're just kind of there. So what the psychedelics help us do, like that's in our conscious mind, right? So that's our conscious mind. And even when I'll just say, I think we all have this where we go to bed and we're like, tomorrow I'm going to whatever it is, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to eat better. And then we have a hard time sticking to all those things, right? And that's like our conscious mind telling us something, but there's something within us, our subconscious, that we can't seem to break through. So the psychedelics, when we go into the experience, what we're doing is going into the subconscious. We're blasting that conscious mind away, and we're going deep into our subconscious, where we have this connection with who we truly are. We reconnect with that person inside of us. And that's where our inner knowing is, our inner knowing of who we are, what we want, where we're stuck. All those bits and pieces are all there. We call it sometimes to our inner healer. And I'm not going to say it's a panacea. I'm not going to say that after one session, it's like, oh, I see it all. I see it clearly in front of me. But that's where we, for the first time, connect with those pieces and see that there's a different me inside of me that I've been hiding. And so that when we can come out of the experience, so many aspects of what, what depending on what we're trying to achieve, so many aspects can change, right? We have a whole new perspective on ourselves and life and the world and our place in the world. And that, I think we'll talk about this more as well, but a big part of that is the integration work after the journey, right? Like you said, it's been months since your journey, but really in terms of how we look at things, I think it's only been a few months. Like your realizations, your integrations will continue to come and happen as you work through them, right? As you consciously work through your experience and go, oh, that thing, that's right. That's what the significance is. Or that's how I want to carry that forward into my life.
I feel like when I got back, I wanted everybody to know about this. I wanted everyone to feel the things. It changed for me though. Like it changed I don't know how to explain it. See, this is the problem. It's such a great journey and it's so hard to articulate, probably psychedelic, but there were really good things about it. And then it presented a lot of challenges for me after in my own relationships, which is ironic because that's what I was hoping it would do. You change the way you relate to people, but those people haven't changed, and that can make the integration really challenging. When I left, Irie said to me, you're different in the world now. And I was like, wow, that is so exciting. And it's true, but it's tough because I'm in the same world. I left for a week and I came back and I was different. And, there is this sort of theory in therapy that, which I did cognitive behavioral for about 12 years. It was great. And it was a great base for my experience here. But when you change, people want change for you. They want you to be healthier and happier, but yet there's this thing that happens in their subconscious. When you change, they don't recognize you. They don't know how to cope or deal with you. So they subconsciously try to pull you back to who you were a little so they know how to relate to you. The difference is when you do this experience, you don't go back to who you were. So they're trying to maybe pull you back. You can't go there because you literally are different. In different ways. And when I say different, your thinking is different now. And for me, I could see sometimes when that pull was happening, and I was like, no, I don't want to go back there. I wasn't happy there. I'm happy here. It's like, it's such a, it's not a magic pill. The integration is such a critical part, and it's the part where I feel like as we see more and more psychedelics come to market, and we see this becoming more mainstream, I think people are going to bypass the integration because they think, oh, I can just do this at home, have someone with me. For me, it wasn't a guided experience, but I had, two therapists with me in case I needed, if I wanted them to write something down for me that, I wanted to remember, if I needed water, or I wanted to go to the washroom and I was feeling a little unstable. So that part is great to have people there, but I found it very soothing. And knowing I was about to macrodose, I found it very reassuring having experts with me, not my pals. And but the after journey, after everything's sort of after that honeymoon phase is over, the after journey is really challenging. And like I said to you, I'm still going through it. Things are still changing. I had a very stressful incident this weekend, which would normally shut me down emotionally. And instead, I just shut my phone off for like the rest of the day and thought, I'm just gonna put this aside for now. I just can't cope and I don't want to. Like, I can't do anything about it right now, so I'm just gonna leave it. And that is not how I would have dealt with it before. I would have been all over it. I would have been freaking out. But yeah, and just like my relationship with people has changed.
these big shifts happen, and we're shown in this in the when we're sitting with the medicine, when we're having the experience, that door is opened for us, and we see these things. And then it's after that the shifts really persist and continue. So yeah, like you say, with you're coming back as a different person. And not that you're like a whole different
No,
but
no.
it's like it's these even the slightest shifts where your response, say if it's normally you have a dynamic with someone you love that if you get into a difficult moment, you do this, they do that, you like you're stepping out of that,
Yeah.
right? Which sometimes is really well received, and other times, like you said, it's not comfortable for them either. Even if they want the best for you, it's still not the you that they know. So there's that resistance
Yeah.
to you, right? So it there's like levels of dynamics to work through, because you want to, you've been shown who your true self is, how you want to show up in the world, but you're pulled back into the dynamics of all the relationships in your life that you've formed around you, but you want to integrate this new person into that. You don't want to leave her back behind on your retreat. You want her to
Yeah.
bring her forward to where, to bring her as part of you going forward, as part of the you that you are. So yeah, the
Yeah.
integration piece is so, it is
Critical.
without it, it's like, you have this experience, it's lovely and it is beneficial, but you're leaving half of the benefit or more. You're just leaving it aside if you don't continue to do that integration work. If you don't,
Yeah.
ideally work with someone to really help you pull through the pieces that you see as time goes by and to integrate them into your life.
Yeah, and as Irie said, like ironically, you can have the whole experience, and if you take the medicine out itself, that's how important the integration and the therapy work is. Like, that is still the journey. So, I want to talk a little bit more about the more tactical stuff about this. Like, when I did my journey, I should mention that I'm on an SSRI. I needed a higher dose. I think I ended up at 6 or 7 grams. I like that sounds crazy. I feel like I should get a badge for that. but I would never do that on my own. But what's the difference between, not just from a dosing perspective, between microdosing and macrodosing, but what's the difference between microdosing and macrodosing? Because they are two very different things. And I
Yeah.
just want to like lead off by telling you the first time I microdosed, Irie gave me some medicine for my husband and I to try. And I said, okay, we have to send my kid to my mom's. We've got to shut the curtains. We're gonna do this. And then we microdosed, and like nothing happened all day.
And we're waiting for it.
Irie, I think there's your shrooms are broken. Nothing happened.
Portobellos, what did you give me?
Exactly. And then I said, like 3 hours in, I'm like, screw it, I'm going to Shoppers Drug Mart. I feel like I'm safe enough to do that. And he said, do you want me to go with you? I'm like, yeah, you should probably come with me in case I break out. And then later she's like, no, nothing's supposed to happen. It was a microdose. I'm like, what? And then she's like, but what didn't happen? I'm like, what do you mean? And I was like, yeah, I get it. What didn't happen was I didn't get those waves of anxiety I normally get during the day. I felt more calm. And but while it was happening, the nothing that was happening, I didn't realize that. I think, because in my mind I was waiting for something big to happen. So now when I microdose, I know the expectation, and nothing happens. I'm like, good, that's what's supposed to happen.
That's
But
what's
it's
happening.
that nothingness, like nothing happened. The anxiety didn't happen. The rage, the hormone rage didn't happen. The this didn't happen, the that. Like, I think that's really what, for me, the difference was.
And I think for everyone, it's always different, right? Everyone's experience, but you said it so well. When you're microdosing, which is generally about say 100 to 250 milligrams, depending on the type of mushroom, of psilocybin, So it's a very small amount. And ideally, you really shouldn't feel anything. Sometimes people feel like a slight, oh, okay. But you really shouldn't be like, you should not, in no uncertain terms, should you be intoxicated, right? You should be able to go to Shoppers Drug Mart safely and get in the car or walk or whatever and conduct your business to work, right? There's lots of companies, especially in Silicon Valley, that actually promote microdosing,
Yes,
right? Yeah,
Silicon Valley. It's a creative tactic for them. It's so, and it's
exactly.
so smart.
It is, yeah, because it's really helping people. Just it's like growth by millimeters, right? You're not trying to
Yeah.
have this big experience. It's like just a little bit of what if every day, what happens if every day you don't have that anxiety rush, you don't have that rage when something, challenging happens, you don't have your usual response. And it's like that compounding effect of day after day and how we shift as time goes by because of that, right?
Yeah.
And that's why microdosing is so popular and is so quietly effective.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
And so you shouldn't do it every day, though. There are different approaches to it. I think it's important to mention that.
That's right. Yeah, there's several approaches, and we can provide some resources, but there's some that are every day for 4 days and nothing for, say, the weekend or for 3 days. There's some that are every other day, and there's others that are every third day. And it really depends on, I'm not going to say there's no right and no wrong, but it depends on the person and what works with them and what works with their schedule. The key is to make sure it's a microdose. You don't want to be, I call it mini dosing. You don't want to be like getting a little bit like, ooh, you want to be able to function through your day. You want to be able to just, every 4 weeks or so, it's important to just take that break. And it's kind of like a reset for you too. And it's an opportunity for you to kind of, I'll say, pull back and recognize those small incremental changes that you've worked through in the past month. That's a really critical piece of it. But there are several protocols that are out there that can be followed.
Yeah, and we'll share those. The other thing I heard about, taking the breaks is you just don't want your body to acclimatize to that dose, right? Like you want to always be able to keep it at that dose, that lower dose,
That's
the microdose.
exactly right. Yeah, you don't
Yeah.
want to be having to amp it up as time goes
Yeah. And
on.
here's another reason I think integration is so important, even with microdosing, is well, I know integration is more around the macrodosing experience, but when I met with a therapist when I got back and I'd been back a few weeks, I wasn't taking enough of a microdose because I'm on an SSRI. I had to take a little more than most people.
Right.
So I didn't know that, and I was taking a lower dose, and it wasn't probably doing as much for me as it could. But then again, this is information that you only find out, when you speak to someone who's trained in this.
That's right.
One thing that came up the other night was at this event was how, other people in the audience were like me trying to get off their SSRIs, trying to like dose down and eventually wean off. It's really, really challenging on an SSRI. I got from 100 down to 25. And the week I started the 25 was terrible, like depression, huge anxiety. I had to go back up. And so we were having this conversation around this. And, from what I understand, you can stay on an SSRI and still use psilocybin. So as we were talking about, trying to like bring your dose down, certain questions that came up were around, talking to your doctor about this. And I will say, like, my doctor and most doctors won't even talk to you about cannabis because they're not protected to talk about these things, right? They're not legally protected to talk to you about psilocybin, psychedelics, or cannabis. Like, my doctor will say to me, the research isn't there on cannabis. I can't talk to you about this. But so I think just knowing that it's important for anyone considering this to know that. This is another reason I think it's important to go through a psychedelic integration coach or therapy because you do need that information, but you're not likely going to get it from maybe going to your doctor because of the reasons I mentioned.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they're not really, they're in a gray zone, right? So they have to be careful with the advice that they give. And then you don't want to just go to, Dr. Google and find out,
No.
right? So yeah, working with a psychedelic therapist, a psychedelic integration coach, or really just knowing that you're working with a community that's really tuned into the reliable information, at the very least, those things are key.
Yeah. So can you just walk me through like a very top line experience? I want to macrodose, I want to have a journey, and like what does that whole process look like?
Yeah. So the start of the journey itself is when you decide that you're going to take the medicine. So, if that could be months in advance, right? If you've decided, I want to book this retreat, I'm going to go down. It's like in 3 months. That's really the start of your journey because that's where the shifting in your thinking begins, right? That's where you're opening up to this, okay, I want to do this growth. I want to do this radical growth. So when you were working with, whether it's the retreat center or the integration coach that you're working with, they're really going to do a lot of preparation with you. So they're going to do medical screening, in-depth, conversations with you about your past, your traumas, what your family of origin looks like, all of those things. And then start preparing you for this experience, right? Making sure that, you're properly aware, properly educated, that you have coping mechanisms, for the experience, right? You have an understanding of what the experiences could be like. There's never one answer to what an experience is like, but that you have, grounding techniques, for when you're in the experience, and then, some beginning preparation for after, right? Knowing that it's not just, that experience of the ceremony that is like the be all and end all, but that there's continuing work either as well. And you'll also do what we call set intentions, right? So you're going to, go through and think about what are my intentions with working with the medicine. And I think you mentioned you wanted to work on relationships as an example. Right, so we're going to try working through those, and that's really, as it's intentions, right? Like, what are the things we want to work on here, and that kind of sets the stage for our experience. The next part that we work through is, that's part of what we call set and setting. So that is the, kind of the mindset that we want to set, and like make sure you're in the proper mindset. You're not desperate. You're not, you're calm and you're going into this with the right frame of mind. And then we want to make sure that however perform the ceremony, whether it's a retreat, whether it's, however it is, that you have a comfortable setting. So you've got a comfortable place around you. It's enjoyable. The neighbor's dog isn't barking away outside the window, right? Like all these things that
Yes.
sound silly, but it's
No,
important.
it's set and setting,
It's set
right?
and set.
Like that's
Yeah.
very important.
That's right. You don't want the kids running in the door halfway through the day, right? All
Yes.
these, very, important things, because this is your experience and it's really important that you have that time for yourself. In the experience yourself, itself, as we mentioned, you wear eye shades because you're really going internal. And so this just really promotes like a going inside of your soul and who you are. So your eye shades, curated music. Most psychedelic integration coaches and psychedelic therapists, they have playlists that really help guide you through the experience. Kind of brings you through as the medicine comes on. It brings you through those phases. It's almost like opens up parts of you and then allows like a bit of a break, and then opens up parts of you and allows a bit of a break.
Yes, and it's so funny because I remember Iris saying to me in the beginning, you don't know what this is now, but when you're done, you're gonna know what this means. And I'm like,
That's
I know what that means.
You
I'm
know what
part of
that.
the club.
Yeah, yes. Where's your badge? Yeah. Yeah. So in the experience itself, experience, journey, ceremony, however people prefer to call it, You are going internal. There's no one way. Some people are extremely quiet, extremely still, just barely like, if they're working with someone, they might say, "Do you need a washroom break? Would you like some water?" Because they're so quiet and still. And some people have depending on what they're working through at that time, it could be a more, reactionary experience. They could want to talk about something, right? So kind of get up or sit up and talk with the person that's there. They could, they could cry, right? They could have some anger, right? We could get them like, "Okay, we need you to like punch the pillow, scream into a pillow," all that sort of stuff. So the experience itself is very different. And even within the experience, there can be phases of, being very peaceful and quiet, having something more emotional where you need that release. Maybe it's something that you've been holding inside for a very long time. Some sorrow or some anger or some grief that is finally getting, having the opportunity to come out of you. Or maybe it's laughter, right? Like I've had many ceremonies where I'm just giggling away at something, right? It's just like, right?
And it can be a mixed bag, like you said.
Yeah, it really can. So you need to have a therapist with you, and the reason they're there is to help to guide you, to help to keep you safe, right? To make sure you are safe. That if you decide, I want to get up and dance, well, okay, that's great. How about we do that later, right? Just doing it in a loving way. If someone does need a handheld, we're always very careful with touch, but if someone, if we have clearance and it's like, if somebody says, "I really need human touch," can we'll hold their hand and be there for them, let them know that we're here, that there's someone there for them. And sometimes that's really healing work that we're doing with people, especially when it's parental issues that they've experienced in the past. And then likewise, just making sure their physical needs are met, right? They're hydrated, they're going to the washroom, if they have to go, they're guided there, and all that sort of work. And we help to make sure to facilitate the experience so that it is safe and calming. It's like safe from a mental
Well, when your
emotional point
mind
of
is
view.
open that way, you don't want anyone having a negative impact on that
That's right.
or a manipulative impact, right?
Exactly.
But
It's
you
Yeah.
make the
So,
difference.
yeah, exactly. Good facilitators, good practitioners know, like, especially when someone's very vocal and they want to talk, they want to engage, they know like what is a safe, supportive level of engagement, right? Because I should clarify this. For most practitioners, this is not a time to do active therapy. We're not, having like an active, therapy session like you would with your psychologist, right? This is really an internal experience. So we want to let people speak because often that's critical to people, right? They haven't felt heard, or they really have to share this with someone. But we don't want to engage in a conversation where we're really tapping
No.
into their psyche, right? We really want to let them be heard. If they need some regulation of in some way, right? Some calming down or just some validation, making sure that's heard, and then encouraging them to go back into the experience, right? Like just letting them have that
Yeah.
moment. Okay, that's great. And going back in. So we really want to be careful with not like this, the work is for the person themselves. This isn't about the facilitator or the practitioner. Pulling the work out of someone or like making it happen. This whole experience is about the person themselves. We often call it holding space. Like we're just there holding space for that person, letting them do what they are more than capable of doing. It's not for us to create that work within them. They've got all the skills they need. So we're just going to be there for them, hold that space open for them. And then make sure they're safe and all those wonderful things.
One way I would describe that journey a little bit, and the reason I feel like the eye mask was so critical to my journey, I was very, I couldn't have had a conversation, obviously, but I was very aware, even though I was, my mind was going in different directions, I was very aware of my space. In when I took my eye mask off, I was still very, very high or whatever it is. But I was also aware that, I had the therapist there and where the washroom was. And when I got up to go to the washroom, I was present. And then I would look out at the ocean and stare at it for a while. And that would be a different journey. Like I could stare at it for 6 hours, but then as soon as I put my eye mask back on, I was in a totally different place. And I was saying to Irie, it's like you're on a cruise, and when your eye mask is off, you're out in the ocean, you're trying to see what port you want to go into. And when you go to port, you put your eye mask on, and then you're having a completely different journey. Like it's very internalized, and you're looking inwards, not outwards.
That is such a great way to describe it.
That's exactly, probably because the ocean was right there leading me on. I'm not going to take all credit for this one. Got to credit the ocean, but I think that's where the difference is between doing a recreational journey and a therapeutic journey.
Absolutely. It's as soon as you have that eye shade and headphones on, you are going within yourself. And it's like, and it can be deep within yourself, but when you lift them off, even though you're still having this experience, it is focused on the outside world, right? Whether it's somebody else in the room or the beautiful ocean and the horizon. And as much as that's beautiful and lovely, and there's moments where that might be important, right? That might be an important part of your journey to, observe that. Maybe you need a connection with nature or whatever it can be. But that, in comparison with doing a whole bunch of, mushrooms with your friends and hanging out, like it's really, you're going, deeply inside yourself.
Now, can you microdose and not do a macrodose journey?
Sorry, say that again.
Well, say that someone listening doesn't want to do a journey, a macrodose, but microdosing and macrodosing can work together, but they can be independent. Is it true?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. You do not have to, if you want to microdose, there's nothing saying you have to sign up to macrodose ever. Right? You can microdose, and there's lots of people who do and find it effective, whether it's for depression, anxiety, just personal growth, creativity. That is perfectly fine. And likewise, you can. There are, several people we'll work with who will say, why don't you start with some microdosing? Let's get you started there, right? Just especially if we're like, okay, maybe they're not quite ready to do this. Let's get them started with some microdosing. Just to, as you're describing, say for you with, it helps a lot with anxiety, or it can, because it can really like help get prepare people for this bigger, deeper dive into their subconscious. So, you can do that. And likewise, you can just do a macro, work with macrodoses if that's how you prefer to do it. Like there's no right or wrong. It's almost like they're two different things, and using those substances and using those medications in two different ways, right? Through the bigger and smaller dose.
Yeah, that's right. Now we are talking about psilocybin, but can you just touch on a few of the other types of psychedelics that are being used in this way? And my question is twofold. I know about peyote and ketamine, etc. So my two questions are, what are the alternatives? What are other forms? And are they also available in a macrodose/microdose option?
Yeah, that's a great question. With macrodosing, or we say with a psychedelic experience, you're right, there are so many options. They're all different in terms of their effects and how they can benefit you. The same but different. I mean, there's just different ways that some of them can really work with you. There's, like you said, peyote, there's ayahuasca, there's lots of ayahuasca retreats available. There's there's psilocybin, LSD, there's MDMA, which is what the trials are working with. And then there's ketamine. So ketamine clinics are legal. They are, I know there's a few of them here in the GTA, where you can go in and get treatment for depression. And Yeah, those are the main things. And then in terms of microdosing, oh, and I should say cannabis as well. That is regarded as a big medicine as well to work with. For microdosing, primarily mushrooms, because it is, you know, it is they are easier to work with. LSD as well as something that people microdose with. Those are the two main things I would call out.
Yeah, it's funny because I read a really good book called called A Really Good Day. I'm gonna get her name, Eileen Waylett. Anyway, I'll include the book. She worked for the Drug Administration, I think, in the US. Probably got that wrong, but she found she was really struggling with menopause and motherhood and marriage and all the things. And so and she had frozen shoulder, like all her chips were down, and she discovered microdosing LSD acid. And she was like, I can't do this. Look where I work. I'm so against this. And she did it, and it was a game changer. It was a total brain changer for her. And so she wrote this book talking about how, like, on small levels, like microdose amounts, it really had a profound effect on all of the issues that were impacting her, like allowing her to kind of like release and let go or see things differently, change perspective, however you want to, you know, regard it. But she's the one who really, her book really got me into looking into this as a topic. I also did a podcast when my podcast was about cannabis with a neurologist who said, you know, at the end of our podcast, when we were like off the record, he said, there's a lot of great uses for cannabis, but it's not for everyone. If you ever want to talk to me about psychedelics, anyone on my team, any of the neurologists on my team will talk to you about the profound benefits of psychedelics. But this was like cannabis had just been legalized. There's no bloody way I was touching psychedelics on a podcast. And I was already in jeopardy of going to the United States because of my podcast, if you can believe it. So anyway, it was not talked about then, like as a potential treatment available to, you know, the general public. So just the shift from then to now has been really encouraging. I know a lot of work is being done in Canada to work with like legal teams and the government to legalize as much as possible. We won't even go into where we predict the politics of this going, but I do think that the more that we are exposed to the benefits and the proper usage, I think we're going to find more and more people getting off their opioids and SSRIs to try to, you know, unravel the problem as opposed to just put a band-aid on it. And SSRIs, you know, they do serve a great purpose, especially for me, but they weren't developed for us to be on these for a lifetime. So, you know, for me, I really just they're helpful for me right now as I sort the problem out. But now, you know, I'm at this point where I'm tired of just masking it. I want to change it. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way, especially in a post-COVID world.
You are bang on. That is so accurate, right? The SSRIs, when they work for people, that's great, but they are more of a band-aid. They're not helping you actually heal. They're not helping you through where you are, right? And you know, for some people, when you're, you know, having like, you know, say chronic, you know, deep depression, that is critical, right? You need, you know, help ASAP to get you, you know, to get you regulated, to get you there. But unfortunately, they don't help people through it. Rarely do we hear someone, you know, say, oh yeah, I came off my SSRIs and now I'm like perfectly, my world is opened up and I can see where all these blockages were in my life.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not at all anti-pharmaceutical. It's just that I feel that where this is an opportunity is, like you said, to unpack the reality of what's going on versus really just running from it, you know. And that's why we do tend to numb with so many different agents because we aren't through it. And the hard work is the part where we go through it. But what I will say about doing a journey is for me, it's stripped away all the extraneous emotions. Like when I was revisiting a situation, I could see it with clarity and empathy for myself and other people. I felt an empathy for other people. I finally like could see through their motives and be like, oh my God, I get why, this happened now. But it didn't bring the fear or the anger with it. So I was able to really observe it without fear, without all the emotion. And that's what gave me the clear look at what was going on. And when I came out, I was like, it never came back. Like triggers I had associated with it were gone, which wasn't, that's something that didn't come up for me until like 6 weeks later. I realized that. And I was like, oh my God, like I did some really profound work.
That is such a beautiful description of working through your, whether it's fear or hurt or anger in a situation, right? Often, in our, our normal lives, we have a situation that really underlying is fear, hurt, anger, right? But we walk into it with our defenses up, or we are already walking into it wounded. And what the psychedelics show us is it's like, again, getting through that conscious part of us, but getting through that part of us so that we can look at it from that different point of view of, okay, right, really, I'm just afraid, really in this inter those, the interactions I have with this person, it really makes me, hits on an insecurity. And now I understand why they behave the way they do and why I respond to it. And, you can go deeper into this level of understanding because you've bypassed all the, normal everyday like human responses of like, this person said this to me and it makes me angry and, blah, 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 right? It really helps us, like you say, it just helps us go into it with without the judgment. That's the term we typically use, right? Without the judgment of or our defensive mechanisms being up. We approach it from a more loving, open point of view, and that's when we can finally see clearly, like, hey, this is the core of that relationship or that matter or that fear of mine or whatever it may be. That's what we're getting at. That's what we're seeing into.
Oh, Andrea, this has been a very illuminating conversation. I'm so happy that we got to talk about it.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping that you and I will do another episode where we focus on the benefits of psychedelics for menopause and midlife specifically. Would you be
That
open to
would be fabulous. Yes. Yes, I
that
am. I look forward to it. I'm,
Okay, great. And you mentioned some great information today. I'm going to include it in our in the copy below. And I'm going to include your website if anyone wants to learn more, to come and talk to you. There's so many great resources now. I'm so happy to see this space open up. And if we get questions, can I shoot them over to you and get some answers?
Absolutely. I'm just so happy to be able to like just talk about this and share this information. Just, open things up again, right? This is the Renaissance. So I'm just happy to be able to talk about it and to share and to, show people this opportunity and this open door. So yeah, please
Amazing.
do.
Thank you, Andrea.
Hey, thanks, Jackie.